Could you guys both stand? I mean, we're going to welcome you both. I don't know if you know this, but you should if you've been here a good amount of time. A pretty sizable chunk of our budget goes to support Rosedale Mennonite Missions. And that's not just, we should do that, fulfill our obligations. That's to try to reach the unreached peoples of the earth. And particularly their focus is to try to go to the statistically most unreached. And what I mean is the least disciples per million population. And so that's what Rosedale Mennonite Missions is doing. That's what I asked them to come. I said, guys, we want a personal connection with you. We don't want to just a line item in our budget. We want to feel the pulse and the heartbeat of this, because this is a part of our making disciples of our mission. So could you please extend a standard gateway welcome to Joe Showalter and Andrew Miller.
Thank you, Tim. Is this mic on? It's a treat to be here. I'm going to be doing the sharing this morning. Andrew is going to be speaking in the afternoon service, so we'll tag team. I'm the president of Rosedale Mennonite Missions, and Andrew works with our partner development, sort of the constituents of the mission, so the churches and the individuals who support us. So he's working hard to maintain connection. And, of course, we all try to do that, but Andrew's specifically given that role at RMM. I love the mission that you have as a church. Can somebody spit it out? I think you know it pretty well. Is that right? What is it? Yeah, everybody knows it. Good job, Tim. Great. Yeah, be disciples and make disciples. That's close, right? So I want to get a little bit acquainted with who you are as best I can. How many of you have lived in Delaware your whole life? Whoa, whoa. I understand that out here you guys, like, you know how to be a state better than anybody else because you started it, right? You were the first one, right? So what do the rest of us, what do the rest of us need to know about it? Yeah. You've probably got it about as right as everybody else, which isn't very right, I'm sure. But how many of you like living near the beach? How many of you get tired of living near the beach? Okay. Yeah, I figured there might be a little bit of difference on that one. How many of you prefer baseball to football? What about the other way around? Yeah, so, see, what are the teams out here? Do you guys, for baseball, is it the Orioles or? Okay. Okay. So who is it? The Phillies. And then, okay, there's a little bit of division in the church. Yeah. And what is it for football? Wow. That's all you got to do is talk about something like that. The Browns. How many of you actually, Tim told you that Andrew and I are here from Rosedale Mennonite Missions. How many of you know what state Rosedale is in? Wow, good deal. How many of you don't? Don't be ashamed to say, because it's actually in the state of Ohio. So we drove a long time to get here yesterday, and we're actually in the city of, yeah, some of our work is in the city of Columbus, and then our headquarters are just outside of Columbus on the west side. We're actually in the process of consolidating everything into a center that we have called the Rosedale International Center in Columbus. And so, yeah, that gives you a geographical picture of where the offices are. that Tim was describing. One more question here. How many of you put your left shoe on first in the morning? How many of you put your right shoe on first? How many of you think that the people who raise their hands so far are kind of crazy? Yeah, it's like, who cares? I'm actually going to make you help me do this message this morning. I'm going to be asking questions, and so if you don't answer, I'm going to get really embarrassed, and I was going to say it's going to be really short, but then they won't answer, right? maybe not. What is the relationship of Gateway to Rosedale Mennonite Missions? Tim talked about it a little bit. I mean, he mentioned that you have some money that gets sent to Rosedale Mennonite Missions. What is the relationship? Okay. They are actually not with Rosedale Mennonite Missions, but I don't think. They're with Eastern Mennonite Missions. Okay. Yeah, that's a sister organization that we work with a lot. Right. Somebody else said something over here. Okay. So Gateway belongs to the conference, which is... it's in your bulletin, I think I saw it. Conservative Mennonite Conference, yeah. And Conservative Mennonite Conference has a mission agency called Rosedale Mennonite Missions. So this church is part of a group of churches, about 105, between 105 and 110, I think it is, churches that own Rosedale Mennonite Missions. I mean, really, you own us, like... it's not like you have Rosedale Mennonite Missions as one of the options out there. I mean, certainly we are that as well, an option for sending people from your congregation into missions, an option for your youth to go through our REACH program in Columbus and to the world, an option for your high school kids to do City Challenge in the city of Columbus in the summertime. So we are an option, but we are more than an option, because if you and the other 110 churches decide to not send money to us, not to put us in your budget, we basically go away, because we are you, okay? So thank you for owning us and for supporting us. What was Jesus' first command? What was his first command? I'm sorry? I'm not getting that. Let's see. Love your neighbor. Follow me. As you read the Gospels, you know, the stories of Jesus, when he started his ministry, what was the first thing that he said to people? Come, follow me. Yeah. Okay. So, come to me, follow me. Disciple, be a disciple. So when you guys put that kind of at the top of the list, there's a lot of biblical support for that. It's the first thing to do. Come, be a disciple. What is the last thing Jesus commanded his disciples to do? Go and make disciples, I heard. Is there something, any other... I'm not sure if I understood what other ones people said. Any other? I don't know if we know for sure what his last command was, but I think maybe it was something that's more like the opposite of go and make disciples. Yeah, I think I heard somebody say it. What was it? Wait. Yeah. So maybe the second to last command was go. I don't, the Bible doesn't say clearly what the order was, but it sort of seems like he may have said go, and then like just before he went to heaven, he said wait. Because he didn't want us to go without the authority. So these are all really, really important commands. Come, follow me. Wait until you've got the power or you're going to get beat up. Go. And when you have that power, you are going to go. I mean, that's just going to happen. It's going to propel you to go. Somebody back here.
Spread the word.
Yes, absolutely. Go spread the word. Make disciples. So, isn't it fair to say that come follow me, wait until the Holy Spirit empowers you, and then go? That's in some ways just the simplest statement of what Jesus asks us to do. I read, I think it was Wikipedia, it says that Delaware has around, in 2010, Delaware had about 900,000 population. Does that sound about right? Is it growing or shrinking or staying?
Growing.
Some of you are not happy about that. Where do you want them to go? Texas? I mean, anywhere. Back? Okay. Okay, so you've got about almost a million people probably by now. I mean, roughly. Tim was mentioning that we at RMM have kind of made it a focus to go to places where Jesus is like really, really unknown. So I was thinking of some statistics this morning, kind of doing some calculations, and I think that like in the country of Morocco where we have workers, there are about 33 million people in that country. I'm not totally up to date on sort of what they're saying there, but the last I knew, there were maybe a couple thousand followers of Jesus. I think if half of us would leave this room, the rest of us could stay, and we would be the only believers in the whole state of Delaware. That kind of gives you a picture of how few it would be. So we're talking about a presence of Jesus that really is almost non-existent.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, when you do the math, it's not 1%, it's 0.01% in some of these countries. So why would we go to a place like that? Well, okay, we just said we're supposed to come, follow Jesus, wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, go make disciples. And he didn't just say, go and make disciples. There's a little more to that statement. He said, of all the peoples, the nations is how some of our Bibles translate it, but what the nations are, I mean, the word nation actually comes from the word native, which comes from the thing about being born. the I can't remember all the words that are related to that in Greek or Latin, whichever it comes from. But native is, yeah, it has to do with ethnicity and tribe and people. So we are to go to all the nations. It seems to me that he is making it clear that, you know, there's not just sort of a partial, you know, we can work at it. We can hope that the ones over there that are, that we can't see and that are far away, you know, not really our problem. We are the church. And it's not just Gateway Fellowship responsibility. It's not just Conservative Mennonite Conference's responsibility. It's the responsibility of the disciples of Jesus around the world to reach those who are not reached. But it is our responsibility. It's not one to ignore. Still to this day, globally, I think it's about 25%. One out of four people who live on this earth are basically totally isolated from the good news of Jesus. What that means is that statistically, one out of four will live their entire life without ever meeting a follower of Jesus or hearing the news of a follower of Jesus. It seems to me that we can make that a priority, and we should make that a priority as a church. So that's when you send money from this church that maybe to some of you goes into this big black hole, which is RMM, you know nothing about it. Well, it's going for those purposes. It's going to help people be Jesus in those places. It's hard work. It's often slow work. Sometimes God breaks through and things happen quickly. But a lot of times it's like we're starting something that's going to take a generation or two. It's just hard. But it's very, very important. So we must care about those who have had no opportunity. It's easy for us, I think, most of us can kind of grasp it when we hear statistics about human trafficking, about, you know, the horrors of racism and, you know, in the country of India, the different castes and how some of the lower castes are so mistreated. There's all kinds of stories like that. We get that. But isn't it fair to say that the greatest human rights tragedy is that there are people who still have never heard the name of Jesus? Yes. Doesn't everybody have the right to hear it at least once? Yes. If you have a Bible, why don't you turn to John 17? There's just a few verses here that have really grabbed me in the recent past. I'm looking, starting in about verse 14 in John 17. Jesus is praying to his Father. This is not long at all before he is leaving earth. And this is a beautiful prayer that so this is the only place in the Gospels where this prayer is recorded. And as a disciple of Jesus, I'm really encouraged by some of the things that he prays here for me, for us. He was talking about his disciples that he was walking around Palestine with, but he was also praying these, he says, for those who will believe because of their testimony. And that's us. We believe because the disciples were faithful. Those first disciples were faithful to share the good news. And then those who they made disciples of, made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples, and we are now disciples. Let me just read a few verses here, starting 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Really? They, my followers, are not of the world any more than I am of the world. I mean, I always kind of thought Jesus came from heaven, right? I mean, it's pretty easy for me to grasp that, like, he would have not totally felt like just kind of settling in on earth and thinking about earth and dreaming about earth and pursuing the earth's dream, the American dream, whatever dream of making it. He was here very clearly on a mission. And he knew what that mission was. What was that mission? What did he state it as? He stated it in different ways, but what did he say? Why had he come? To show us the Father. That's one of them. Take away the sins of the world. I'm sorry? Reconcile us to God. Be an advocate. Seek and save the lost. That sounds like, I mean, all of those things were things that connected heaven to earth, that connected God to people, people to God. I am not of this world. They are not of this world any more than I am of this world. So why are you here?
To help those, as disciples, to help those that are lost.
You were sent here from heaven. You were sent as a missionary from heaven to be right here doing Jesus stuff, doing exactly that same list of things.
Amen.
Well, we don't do the reconciling of God to man, the dying on the cross thing, although I guess we do. We lay our lives down, we take up our cross and follow. We just don't, we individually don't save people. We don't atone for the sins of the world, but we bring people to the one who does atone. And we are sent from heaven to do that, just as he was. It's what he said, so I think it's true. So, where's your citizenship? Heaven. Where do you vote? Where do you pay taxes? Render to Caesar, Jesus said, so. The point is, it really changes our perspective, I think, when we understand that our primary citizenship is in heaven, that we are sent here to earth on a mission. We're not just kind of hanging out for a while to see what we can, see how happy we can be and how comfortable we can get, how much we can accumulate. We are here on a mission from heaven. And if that ain't a good mission, I mean an important mission, I don't know what is. You preach it. Bunny, is that right?
Yes.
That's exactly right. So you and I are here as missionaries from heaven to bring people to Jesus, to make disciples. I want to leave you with a really simple tool that you can use to work in the process of making disciples. I'm going to give you just about three questions that you can use when you're taking people to the Scripture. It's called the Discovery Bible Study Method. It's being used all over the world. And it's transforming certain parts of the world where it's being multiplied and reproduced all over. There's different models of this. It's not like somebody patented it or something. It's a basic discovery tool that's helping people all over the world discover God for themselves through the Scripture. If they can't read, it's through the stories that people tell them. If they can read, it's usually actually physically reading Scripture together. The questions are these. What does this say? You take a passage of Scripture, and the first question is, what does this say? And often what happens is somebody in the group kind of retells what was just read. So what does it say? Let's put it in our words. And then the group says, yeah, that great job. You said it well. Or there is this one important thing that I think we should make sure gets included in the picture here. So what does it say? The next question is, what does this teach us about God? What do we learn about God from this? And the group discusses. The third question is, what does it teach us about ourselves? And so then we talk together about our humanness, what Scripture is telling us about who we are. Actually, did I tell you there are three? I'm thinking through this. I'm really bad at math today. There's a couple more. The next question is, what do I need to do about what I just read here? How do I obey this? Because obedience, after all, is really, really important. Jesus said, come and follow me. Do what I tell you to do. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey me. Obedience is critical. So what are we supposed to do about what we read? And then the last question is, who can I tell about this story? Is there somebody that I'm relating to that needs this and that I can share it with? If you take those simple questions, and if you forget a couple of them, don't worry about it. They're important, but at the same time, they're not magic or something. They're just, it's a simple formula that can be adapted and stated in your words and all of that. You can read the Bible with a friend or with a group of friends and let them discover the Word of God. You don't have to teach them what is there. The Holy Spirit will show them what is there. They'll see things that you've never seen before. It's the coolest thing to do Bible studies with people like that. You learn so much, and it transforms them many times. If they stick with it, and if they are really seeking God at all, it's a wonderful tool that He uses to draw them into life with Him. I've seen it happen multiple times with friends of mine, and I hear stories from around the world that those questions are being used and then reproduced. Anybody can easily teach those questions to someone else, and it can just multiply rapidly. So, sure. The questions again. What does this say? It's a passage of Scripture. Certain ones, of course, work better than others, but many scriptures work. I mean, you don't have to just. There's not just a few that'll work. You can go all over Scripture and use these questions. What does this say? It's usually retell the sort of what you read. What does this teach us about God? What does this teach us about ourselves? What do we need to do about what we've read? How do we obey it? Who can I tell about this? Those simple questions I think it's not a stretch to say those simple questions brought to Scripture are transforming the world. There are thousands of people choosing to follow Jesus because of that kind of simple reproductive Bible approach. And again, it's not, I mean, people would state those slightly differently and leave some of them out and it still works. It's not like you have to make sure you get it just perfect. But I think as I've worked with these studies, those five are really key and excellent questions that you can use. And seriously, you can do this. I mean, you can. It's a tool you can use to make disciples. We have a guy in our church in Columbus who is from Mexico. He doesn't have papers. He's living in Columbus. And about a year and a half ago, he was picked up by immigration and was put in prison for, I think he was there for 3 or 4 months. And he had been part of groups that used these tools. And so while he was in prison, he started studying the Bible with people. And by the time he left, a few months later, there were like 37 guys coming to his Bible study. And one of the people in our church said, "But what's going to happen to them now that you're out?" And he said, "Well, I taught somebody else how to teach, how to keep it going." And then I talked to the same guy about 3 weeks ago. He had gotten a job down in Tennessee for like 6 weeks. He had to go to Tennessee, and he worked 7 days a week to do this project for his boss in Columbus. And he came back and he said, "Yeah, well, you know, we had Bible studies with the whole work crew, and some of them became believers." This is a guy who, he's a construction worker. He's not like a Bible scholar by any stretch, but he knows he has a simple tool for taking people to Jesus through the Word of God. And I think I'd love to see that just reproduced all over our churches, all over the whole Church of God. It's a way that we can reproduce ourselves, the life of Jesus in us, through the Scriptures that we have in our hands. I want to thank you again for supporting Rosedale Mennonite Missions. There's a whole bunch of information about RMM that's too much to tell you all about in a service. I've told you a few bits and pieces. There's some brochures and things back on the table behind the window here. And I'd love to answer questions and any of that, but I want to turn it back over to Tim now. I think I've taken at least as much time as I was allotted. But thank you so much for your attention.